Will you pray with me? Lord, now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So this is a difficult passage. It is one that just seems so wrong to our sense of fairness, our sense of justice. It is not fair, as Marty said, that somebody who comes late should get the same as someone who has worked all day. That's just not right. That's not how we've been taught. You get paid for the outcome of your work. Your worth for the day is dependent on how much you can produce. If our world needs a message, it's the gospel lesson for today. Because although we have been accustomed and we have been enculturated to understand our worth in terms of dollar signs, in terms of prestige, in terms of titles, those things are meaningless in the kingdom of God. We strive and we strive and we strive to climb that corporate ladder. For what purpose? As I was thinking about this lesson today, I was thinking about my father. My father grew up on a cemetery. His father was the caretaker of the cemetery. He was very much a rural kid. He had the nickname Digger. But he was the type of kid who would invite his horse, his pony, into the kitchen to get sugar. His mother would chase sugar out. And then he met my mother in high school. She was a town girl. Her tastes were more refined. She didn't like to be out in the country. She didn't like to be out in the cemetery where it was dirty. So he gave up the country life and went into the military, came back, became a teacher, and then a principal, and then a central office person, and just kind of kept going and going and doing all the things and making all of the decisions to better his family. To move to the right side of the tracks, to build a house that had room for all of his children, to finally leave education and go into business because he needed to make more money. He thought that that would bring greater security to his family and greater prestige, and all the while chasing after something. Until at some point, he realized that what he was chasing was not anything that he could find that was external to him. That the things that he really cared about, his family, his friends, were things that could be taken away from him anyway. His one son died at the age of 37. The one thing that my father wanted most of all was to pass on his name. He was the only son. He was the only surviving child of his parents, and with the death of my brother was the death of the family name. And that killed him inside. And so he learned an important lesson that day about where our worth comes from, about what is important in life. And while up until that point he had pushed myself and my brother and my sister to kind of do that, you know, climbing of the corporate ladder and chasing after the things and getting the right house in the right neighborhood, after the death of my brother, something changed in him. He realized that it was way more important to spend time with friends, to gather people in his home and just hang out. He sort of reclaimed that rural boy that he once was and started having campfires and wanting to go camping again, or in this case, going to a cabin that actually had running water. But, I mean, age does do something, right? But the reality for him is that he became an entirely different person, one that I think reflected the love that was in him all along in ways that were so much more accessible. He became a softer person. He became a less critical person. He became a person that was a whole lot easier for his children to love. And I think in part that is what the gospel message is talking about, is that it doesn't matter if you're first or last. It doesn't matter all of the labels that get put upon you. It doesn't matter if you are the most knowledgeable, the one with the most power. What matters is that God loves you. God loves you no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you are on life's journey. God loves you. You are welcome here. Sound familiar? That is something that our world desperately, desperately needs to hear. I told the story this morning as we came to the communion table that Shane Claiborne, in one of his books, talks about a conversation that he had where the person he was talking with said, "You know, I really don't believe that Jesus ever ate with prostitutes or tax collectors." And Shane, of course, Bible 101, right? He's got all of the script, the chapter and verse of to refute this. And the guy's like, no, you're missing the point entirely. To Jesus, every person was a child of God. So all of those other labels that we would put on, that our society would put on, became meaningless. And whether he was sitting in a group with a group of tax collectors, or whether he was sitting with a group of Pharisees, or whether he was sitting with the rich and powerful of the community, it made no difference whatsoever. Each person around the table was a child of God. It's the only label that mattered, and it's the only label that can never, ever be taken away from any person, no matter what happens to them. And I will leave you with this last story, because it is one that I think changed my view about who I am as a person, who I am as a Christian. I used to work for a large corporate entity, multinational company, and climbing the corporate ladder, I became really frustrated and really just overwhelmed with the amount of responsibility that had been placed upon me to get something done, and I wasn't able to get it done, and people weren't listening to me, and I felt I was powerless, and I was just so demoralized. And yet there was this guy who was on the team who worked out of St. Louis. I was in Middleton, and he was always the most positive person. And while it wasn't really his responsibility, after a meeting in which I was particularly frustrated and might have perhaps used some language that might have been probably not the most appropriate in the given the circumstances in a professional setting, he recognized my hurt and my frustration. And he calls me up and he tells me it's going to be okay. And I just said, "Darn it, Phil." I said, "How can you always be so positive? How can you always be this person that kind of gets the big picture and can calm down a room with a few words?" And he said, "Well, I'm a Christian." I'm like, "Well, duh, so am I." And he said, "Yeah, but do you know that God loves you?" I said, "Yeah, duh, I know that. I was taught that when I was, an infant." He goes, "But do you really believe it?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Every morning I get up, I know three things are true. My wife loves me, my children love me, and God loves me. And then I go about my day. And as I go about my day, lots of different things completely out of my control or in my control can happen. And the first two of those things may not be true anymore by the time I get home. I might have a fight with my wife. My children might think I have disappointed them in some way. But at the end of the day, no matter what happens, no matter what I have accomplished or failed to accomplish, no matter what I have achieved or failed to achieve, I know God loves me." He goes, "That, do what I do with the attitude that I have." And that story struck me, as I hope it does you, as something so simple yet so profound. The message of the gospel lesson today, the message of the kingdom of God, is that God loves you. And we know that because Jesus told us. Amen.